Romans chapter 1 will be our text. At least we'll find our text in that chapter this evening. Last week, we looked at the charismatic movement. We are under the section of miscellaneous items of my own personal doctrinal statement. And so we've been looking at theology proper, theology itself, the study of God, Christology, the study of Christ, pneumatology, the study of the Holy Ghost, soteriology, the study of salvation, and on and on and on. We've looked at a number of subjects, but here again in this particular section that we're in right now, I simply address miscellaneous subjects, but yet subjects that are relevant to our particular generation, not that the others are not. As we'll see here this evening, it's just some of these things are at the forefront of the battles that Christians are fighting. And so last week looked at the charismatic movement and why it is unscriptural with its belief that the apostolic signs have returned and that believers once again have the ability to speak in unknown, or that is, unlearned tongues or languages. And so we want to move on to a new section of my doctrinal statement here this evening. But before I announce the particular subject, you'll probably figure it out as we read our text. But let's begin reading here in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 16. I have a number of other passages listed here that I would like for us to take the time to read. This may take just a little bit, but I think it's important to lay a scriptural foundation. And so here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for they have showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto a corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Let me read to you a passage from the book of Genesis, chapter 19. I could go into great detail, but I'll not do that. You will either be familiar with the account, or you can go back and read it later and fill in some of the details. But in Genesis chapter 19, let me read actually two verses, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compass the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And again, if you're familiar with the account, you realize that at the end of this particular incident, God destroys the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah with fire from heaven. In the book of Judges, in chapter 19, there's a very similar account. I'll just read to you verse number 22. It says, Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, Bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And there's the same type of expression found in this chapter as is found in Genesis chapter 19. And when the word know is used, it's not so that they might get to know about his background and his family and such, but they're talking about in a physical sense. In Leviticus chapter 18, this will be the last Old Testament reference I read, and then I've got a few in my notes I want to read to you from the New Testament. But in Leviticus chapter 18, in verse 22, it says, Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which are cast out before you. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Jude 1:7 says, Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I, for one, am not in favor of condemning one sin over others. But there is one particular sin which is at the forefront of America's cultural war. And if you're not aware at this point, let me just let you in on it. America is in the midst of a cultural transition. In America's culture, believers have already lost the battle against fornication. And by that I simply mean fornication is something that is accepted in our society, and there's very little, if any, negative consequences to someone who engages in that type of behavior. In America's cultural war, believers have lost the battle against adultery and divorce. For anyone in our society can get a divorce for any reason of their choosing, even without giving a reason at all. In America's cultural war, believers have lost the battle against immodesty, and people parade on our streets wearing very little, if anything at all. In America's cultural war, believers have lost the battle against abortion. And a woman in some places in this country can have an abortion pretty much at will. But another battle rages. And outside of revival, I'll say, as I said before, believers will lose this battle too. But I will tell you this, I for one will fight for God, the Bible, and righteousness beyond the length of this particular battle. Like a loyal Southerner who continues to fly the Confederate flag in support of states' rights which were lost long ago, I will continue to speak out against sin even after it becomes culturally acceptable. In this message tonight, I want to examine the subject of homosexuality. And I want to seek to answer many of the points that are brought up by those who support this particular behavior. It's not uncommon, you know, to find individuals in our society to talk about evolutionary progress, you know, when it comes to our civilization. Matter of fact, there's one particular political ideology that calls itself progressive, as though they're the ones helping societal evolution to progress forward. Matter of fact, that is one of the campaign slogans of President Obama this year: forward. And progressives, Democrats, liberals, they talk about progress. They talk about moving forward. But unfortunately, most of the time when they use those terms, they're talking about moving away from the Bible morally, but they're also talking about moving away from America's foundational principles. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that our country is shifting, its morals are shifting, and that it's going in the wrong direction. I mentioned a number of things that we've already lost as believers. Maybe that's why the book of the Revelation says to the one church, strengthen those things which remain. Because there's so many things that have slid through our hands. So much ground morally that has been lost. And if America continues to go in the same direction it has, we will lose this battle too. But we've got to make up our mind to fight against sin, whether it's culturally accepted or not. The first question I want to seek to answer is homosexuality a matter of civil rights? When I see people talk about this particular subject, they talk about equal rights for all. And they compare the fight that homosexuals are waging in this country with the civil rights movement of the 1950s. In the 1950s, segregation of blacks and whites was abolished. By the way, I've read about this particular history, that it is something that has been foreign to me in my lifetime. Never have I been in a city, in a state, or in a place where segregation of any type was practiced. There have always been a small minority of people, whether black or white, who have been a little bit racist, but quite honestly, I have to tell you from my perspective, I really don't know any people who are legitimately racists. Though perhaps that was the case prior to the 1950s and maybe shortly after the 1950s. But with the civil rights era, many changes were brought about. Blacks didn't have to give up their seats to whites anymore on the buses, and formerly they had to. Blacks didn't have to eat in different areas of restaurants or in different restaurants altogether than whites. Blacks didn't have to be educated in different schools. They were now integrated into white, quote-unquote, white schools. It was all about color. The civil rights movement was all about skin color. That's why Martin Luther in his famous speech said, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. He said, I have a dream that my little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He wanted an America where men weren't judged by their skin color, but by their character, by the way your character is based on your conduct. Now, Bible-believing people, I believe, would have always supported such a dream. As the Bible declares, all come from Adam. We are all of one race. We are not to be respecters of persons. The gospel is to be preached to all, and nothing at all is said in the Bible about inferior races. That is the product of evolution. So don't blame Christianity for segregation or racism. Blame evolution. Recently, I was reading a story online in the news and watching a video that came with the story of a quote-unquote pastor in Michigan, I think it was. Actually, I think it was in Missouri. Springfield, because Springfield was the city. And they were getting ready to pass some type of ordinance, I think, that would give certain protections and rights to homosexuals. And he was in favor of that. That's why I say quote-unquote pastor. Not a very good pastor. And so he began to give like a 2 to 3 minute speech. And he was reading his speech. And you could tell as he was reading, what he was reading was not in support of this particular piece of legislation. It was in favor of it. But he got to a certain point and he kind of stumbled. Because instead of, you know, saying homosexuality, he said segregation. And earlier he had been saying, you know, the Bible condemns this. And anybody who understands the Bible would know that it condemns this. And then when he got later on in what he was reading, it said segregation. So then he stopped. And he said, what I was just reading were the words of individuals who were against, you know, doing away with segregation in the 1950s. And he somehow thought that that made his point. He said to those men, don't be on the wrong side of history when it comes to the homosexual movement. You see what he was doing? He was comparing the homosexual agenda and what's going on in America today with the civil rights movement. And in his mind, and in many minds, they're one of the same. But there is a vast difference between the civil rights movement of the 1950s and the homosexual controversy that we have going on in America today. One, and that is the civil rights movement, is based on a genetic characteristic outside of anyone's control. Homosexuality is based on a behavior that someone has the purpose to engage in. And I would think that that's all that needs to be said to put a stop and an end to those who want to liken the homosexual agenda to the civil rights movement of the 1950s. You cannot control the natural color of your hair. You cannot change the natural color of your eyes. You cannot decide to be black or brown or white or red, but you can control how you behave. And you can control when you have physical relationships and who you have them with and how you have them. That is within your control. And therefore, this is not a battle in regards to civil rights. This is a battle as to whether or not we as a society are going to condone something that the Bible condemns, or are we going to allow it to be accepted as normal? The second question I would seek to explore tonight is, are homosexuals born homosexual? It is common for some to suggest that homosexuals were born the way that they are. Matter of fact, I think there was some time, at some point in the past, where there was where it was reported that homosexuals had a homosexual gene that was absent in heterosexuals, but I think that has been proved or debunked, disproved or debunked. And in fact, there's many people who turn their back on a homosexual lifestyle, which would seem to indicate that it's a behavior, right? Not something biological. Matter of fact, some people, even heterosexuals, choose to engage in homosexuality as an experiment. I seem to recall not too long ago that Madonna and Britney Spears put on their own little, what you might call, homosexual display. I don't know if that was a Super Bowl. The Super Bowl seems to have a lot of controversy, or it was just some other event where they kissed one another, two girls. Why did they do that? Both, you know, it's not because they're homosexuals. Of course, they did it for shock value. They did it for publicity and those types of things. But again, without going into a lot of detail, there are people who engage in these activities who clearly are not homosexuals in general, but they engage in that type of behavior from time to time. Do some have a natural affection to people of the same sex? You know, I'm not sure it's something, praise the Lord, that's foreign to me.
Amen.
But say, some claim to. And they may be telling the truth. And quite honestly, there's some people I went to high school with, when I learned later on that they were homosexuals, I wasn't surprised. I'm sure you know people just like that. I played baseball with one girl. She played one girl with all the boys. I'm not surprised that she's a homosexual. She always acted like a boy. There's a guy I went to high school with. He always acted like a girl. I'm not surprised. And when I see those things, okay, do these people have some natural propensity? Do they have a natural affection for people of the same sex? They say they do. And who am I to say they're lying? But does that make it okay? Having a natural inclination to a particular behavior does not make it okay. Some, if not all people, are naturally selfish. I've told you about the little book I have that my boss gave me and forced me to read, looking out for number one. And how he says that selfishness is something that's universal to all of mankind. Therefore, it can't be wrong. If you listen to Rush Limbaugh very much on the radio, he's always talking about self-interest and how self-interest is a good thing. Now, I can kind of understand what he's saying a little bit, but you see what he's saying. We need to preserve self. We need to be concerned about self and our own well-being and our own best interest. And he says that will benefit everybody. Well, okay, to some degree I can understand what you're saying. But all of mankind is selfish. That doesn't make it right. We all tend to focus on our own well-being and what is in our personal best interest many times to the neglect of what is in someone else's best interest. Some people are naturally abusive. Some people are just naturally mean, more so than others. Some people, maybe all people, are naturally inclined to commit fornication, especially when they fall in love. Does that make it right? They have these feelings. Something inside of them is saying, hey, this is what I want. Does that make it okay? No. Some men have a natural inclination. Some women have a natural inclination towards adultery. Are they supposed to act on these impulses? Are they okay because they're natural? No. You know, some, they say... Some people, men, are naturally attracted to children in a sensual way. Are they just to act on those impulses? Is it okay? Absolutely not. Just because something it might be natural does not make it right. So people need to quit arguing on that basis. We all have natural inclinations and impulses to do what we know is wrong. Sometimes people have an impulse to steal. But those people most of the time also know that what they're about to do is wrong because God has written His law in their hearts. You see, we are by nature sinners. Ephesians 2 says, "And you hath He quickened." So He's talking to saved people who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And He says, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The New Testament tells us to put off the old man, does it not? To reckon our members dead to sin, to cast off the works of darkness, to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, even though it's natural to walk in the flesh. And you see, those that are without God, without the Word of God, they naturally just follow the flesh. And that's why when you read of the Gentiles and the other nations outside of Israel, like we did just a moment there in the book of Leviticus, look at the types of things that those people were guilty of, because they just followed the flesh. And things tended to get more and more perverted. Are they born that way? I wouldn't think so. But even if they have those natural desires and inclinations, it doesn't make it right.
That's right.
What about this? Aren't homosexuals making a mockery of marriage already? So why try to prevent homosexual marriages? Here is a post that circulates from time to time. You might have heard somebody say something like this. And this is quotes. So let me get this straight. Charlie Sheen, and many of you won't know these individuals. I don't even know what half of these are talking about, okay? But Charlie Sheen can make a porn family. Kelsey Grammer can end a 15-year marriage over the phone. Larry King is on divorce number 9. Britney Spears had a 55-hour marriage. Jesse James, and I don't think that was the outlaw, and Tiger Woods, while married, were having sex with everyone. Yet the idea of same-sex marriage is going to destroy the institution of marriage? There's so many things wrong with that statement. Number one, did you notice every individual listed in there is a Hollywood type? Every one of them. And that probably means that every one of those individuals are in favor, by the way, of homosexuality. And they're certainly not a reflection upon most modern families. The second thing I see wrong with that particular statement, or the thing I find interesting, is that a judgment is being made about these other individuals that are mentioned. Clearly, whoever posted this, and I know who it is, but whoever posts this, because lots of people post it, recognize that the actions of these individuals like Charlie Sheen and Britney Spears and Larry King are wrong. They realize these people are making a mockery of marriage. So why add sin to sin? And number three, and perhaps most importantly, this issue is not just about destroying the institution of marriage. Now, politicians, they argue from this premise and on this basis because, you know, they don't want to be looked at as some archaic, old-fashioned Bible thumper by saying the Bible says it's wrong. But the fact of the matter is, homosexuality is wrong because the Bible says so.
That's right.
It'd be nice to have a politician who just spoke his mind like that, who believed that, I guess, and wasn't afraid to say it.
Amen.
Of course, he would never get elected, you understand. That's why they do that. Look at Todd Akin, is it there in Missouri?
Yes, sir.
He's attacked for really not saying anything incorrect. People just didn't understand him maybe a little bit. But homosexuality is wrong. Not because it destroys the institution of marriage, but because God said it's wrong.
Amen. That's right.
Now it does further destroy the institution of marriage, which is what all these individuals listed are doing as well. They got that point right. These individuals are making a mockery of marriage. I knew Larry King had been married a few times. I had no idea. It was 9. That's crazy. Why does he even bother going to the altar anymore? I mean, come on. How about this? Are those who are against homosexuality bigots? I think I looked up a number of words this afternoon, and I think bigot was one of them. Because always when people use those terms, I kind of have an idea in mind, but I wonder if that's what they mean by them. I think a bigot is someone who is against something because of tradition or because it is different than their own personal practice. But again, that's not why I or millions of Christians oppose homosexuality. And too often, those who disagree with someone attempt to misrepresent the opposing viewpoint. And this is all over the place. And can I say to each of us, let's not misrepresent other people's viewpoint. Do you realize that though we sometimes question the motivation of liberals and progressives, I think many of their motivations are pure. I think many of them truly believe that if we would practice collectivism and socialism, that there would be equality for all. I truly think they believe that. The problem is, never have we ever seen that happen in history. And the problem I see with it, in order for it to happen, you would have to take away people's right to rise, people's right to be wealthy, people's right to be rich. Everyone would have to be equal economically. And again, I just have all kinds of problems with that due to government control and a loss of liberty and stuff. But I believe their motivations are pure. They truly think that they can bring to the world some sort of utopia. President Barack Obama believes that if he had absolute control to do whatever he wanted in this country, that he could solve all the ills. He believes that. But I just disagree. And they accuse the right. Well, you're wanting to take grandma's health care. You're wanting to take a woman's rights to her own body. No, we're not. We're wanting to create a country, preserve a country where individual freedoms are supreme and where biblical morality reigns.
Amen.
Don't misrepresent. It's not that we're bigots. I didn't grow up having a problem with homosexuality. I got right with God and I studied His Word. And from His Word, I determined what was right and what was wrong. And there are many behaviors that I engaged in prior to getting right with God that I had to repent of. I don't turn around today and say that those things were acceptable. Well, there may have been times in my youth where I engaged in drunkenness and drugs. What I did was wrong. And I'm not going to try to condone it today. I'm going to say what I did was wrong. The majority of the people who reject homosexuality, it is not because they are bigots. It's because they believe the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Should we, or are we, those of us who are opposed to homosexuality, are we intolerant, unloving, and unaccepting? This again is so often repeated by those in support of homosexuality. These are some of the words I looked up this afternoon. What is tolerance anyway? Actually, I looked it up in a modern Webster's dictionary, since it's modern English-speaking people who make these claims. These are the three definitions I found for tolerance: a disposition to be patient and fair, freedom from bigotry. Again, I think I already expressed our opposition to homosexuality is not due to bigotry, not due to tradition, not due to something we grew up with. It's not because they are engaged in a behavior that we don't. That's not what it's about. It's the fact that the Bible says that it's wrong. Definition number two says power of enduring or resisting the action of a drug. And you know, sometimes medical professionals will use the word tolerance. They've built up a tolerance to a particular drug, to a particular antibiotic. They have a tolerance to it. There's a third definition: allowed variation from standard dimensions. Now again, this may not really have to do with the moral sense. We use a lot of times in the technical world, you know, like a resistor is within a certain tolerance. A resistor is something you would put in a circuit, you know, to slow down the voltage, increase the amperage, those kind of things. And you know, say it has a certain resistance. Well, as long as it's within tolerance, within a certain variation, it's okay. But if by tolerance what is meant is that we accept homosexuality as lawful, well, then I guess we are intolerant, right? Because we don't accept it as lawful. We're not tolerant of anything that the Bible calls sin. If by tolerance it is meant that we allow people to hold differing views than us, then we're tolerant. We just believe those other views are wrong. Acceptance is defined as receive with approval or agree or give credence to or worthy of approval. And if that's what acceptance means, then we do not accept the behavior of homosexuality. We don't believe it's worthy of our approval. We don't agree with it. We think it is an incorrect way for people to behave. Now that doesn't mean we will not treat all people with respect and dignity. As I said, I have high school friends who are homosexuals. I'm very cordial to them. I've worked amongst many, or maybe just a handful, I should say, of homosexuals. And I've witnessed to them, and I've explained that their behavior is sinful in the eyes of God. But you know, I do the same thing to someone who divorces and remarries and divorces and remarries. I do the same thing to someone who's a drunkard, to someone who does drugs, to someone who cheats on their wife. Love, I don't know how in the world the world defines love. Evidently, to the world, love means unconditional acceptance. Regardless of someone's behavior or beliefs, they think you don't judge them. But folks, this has no basis whatsoever in Scripture. No basis whatsoever. Biblical love is to seek another person's best interest.
Amen.
Seeking their best interest. And you know what? It is not in someone's best interest for us to condone homosexuality. I have some information I could point you to, but there's been a number of studies done on the life expectancy of homosexuals. And the average life expectancy of homosexuals is 40-something. I forget the exact age. That's 30 years off the normal life expectancy. That's only living 60% of your life. But you know what? You never hear about that in the media or in our culture. You have to go looking for it, which just demonstrates what the media believes regarding this issue.
Right.
Because to me, they're really... honestly, I spent a lot of time this afternoon thinking to myself and asking myself, why is it that so many people, even people who call themselves Christians, people who are heterosexuals, why do they support homosexuality? It's as the Bible calls it, it's unnatural. As I said at the beginning of my message, I'm not for condemning one sin over others, but there are degrees of sin. And there in our text, in the book of Romans, you have this downward spiral towards apostasy. And what is one of the last steps that is taken when God turns you over to a reprobate mind? You practice homosexuality. It's unnatural. One of the reasons people have such a short life expectancy that practice it, especially men, is because of the type of uncleanness that goes on. And so why? Why do people support it? Who know better? Why? And I recalled back at a time when I was working in Indianapolis, and again, back there, Mr. Cannon, he was my boss, and I just appreciated him so much. He was just sharp as can be when it came to psychology and human nature. And sometimes I wonder if God didn't put me with him on purpose to teach me a few things about human nature. And I remember there was one of the other managers who was being very adamant about one of his employees getting a severance package when he was terminated. I mean, he was adamant about it. I mean, he wanted to make sure that this individual was going to get his severance package. I mean, and I was like, I asked my boss, why is he so adamant about this? This doesn't affect him. And he said, no, it does. Because he wants to make sure that when his time comes and he's terminated, and by the way, that time did come, that he gets his severance. And he was exactly right. That's what it was all about. And as I thought about that, I thought, this is exactly why some people who are heterosexuals and who know better support the homosexual agenda. Because they realize, if people are going to judge the homosexuals and their behavior, they're going to judge theirs. And these people don't want anybody passing judgment on their behavior. And this is the new morality in America. Don't judge, and I won't judge you if you won't judge me. And that's what they do. So in summary, here's some things we sought to answer and address this evening. Is homosexuality a matter of civil rights? No, it is not. There's a vast difference between a genetic characteristic that you have no control over and a behavior that you purposefully engage in. Are homosexuals born homosexual? Well, regardless of whether or not they are, just because it's natural or you're inclined to engage in that behavior, it doesn't make it right. Aren't heterosexuals making a mockery of marriage already? Yes, in many cases they are. But that doesn't mean we just add sin to sin. Are those who are against homosexuality just bigots? Well, I guess you can label us however you want. But my opposition to homosexuality is not because of tradition, not because of what I've been brought up to believe. It's not just based on the fact that they're behaving in a different way than I am, but it's based on thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And are those who oppose homosexuality intolerant, unloving, and unaccepting? I can understand why some people would say that. Because we're never going to give our approval, or we should never give our approval of a behavior that God calls sinful. 1 Corinthians 6:9, this is what it says. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, don't fool yourselves. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor, notice this, abusers of themselves with mankind. But the verses go on to say, and such were some of you. That ye are washed, that ye are sanctified, that ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can be saved.
Yes.
But it involves repenting of your sin and agreeing with God that it is sin. And so anyone who truly gets saved from any of the sins listed here is not going to then condone that sin. They're going to condemn it and be ashamed that they ever engaged in it. So can a homosexual be saved? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Just like an adulteress can be saved, like the woman in John chapter 4. Just like a murderer can be saved, like Saul of Tarsus. Just like a liar, a thief, a cheat, an idolater, a selfish, proud person can be saved. Anybody can be saved.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And let me say this to those of you who are believers. Outside of revival, homosexuality will become something that is accepted in this culture. You don't have to be a prophet to understand that. It will be accepted at some point outside of revival if God does not intervene. And that will not change one thing for you and I. We will still, as Christians, have to have our own culture within this culture. And though certain behaviors are acceptable by the people in our society, that won't make them right for us.
Amen. Sure.
And as we see people saved, we'll have to use the Word of God to help minds be renewed.
Amen.
As Romans chapter 12 says. Again, this highlights the need for us to get on our knees and pray for our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's going in the wrong direction. And we need a revival from God. And I'm of the opinion God could bring to us revival. But let us be planting the seeds for revival in the lives and the hearts of others as we try to get everything right in our own life as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time together this evening. Lord, I know that this subject is one perhaps that's very sobering, one that's very serious. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to gain much from it. Lord, I know as your people, we certainly need to be encouraged when we see so much wickedness around us. Lord, might it be a motivating factor in us living holy lives ourselves. So Lord, just take some of the things that I've said. Help us to be ready to give an answer to every man. Lord, even when they ask us concerning things about homosexuality. So Lord, again, use the message for Thy glory. Use it for the edification of Thy people. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn 145, Whiter Than Snow. 145.